Hello and welcome to the Dadcast. My name is Matt.
My name's Paul.
And we are both dads, gamers, and tech lovers.
And content creators.
And don't forget content creators. This is our podcast and we hope you enjoy it. Stay tuned, tune into future episodes, and we hope that you enjoy the chill out with us. And of course, we like to enjoy
a good old fashioned drinky poo.
A good old fashioned drinky poo. So we will always introduce a new drink each week or each episode. So stay tuned, tune in, have fun, chill out, and de-stress as a parent, a dad, a gamer, and a tech lover.
Enjoy it.
Peace.
Love you.
Hello and welcome to the Dadcast. My name is...
I did it again, Paul.
You did it again. I was about to say, yeah, you've done it, but you still failed.
I still failed on that. It's the pause button. It doesn't work. Welcome, everyone, to episode 16 of the Dadcast. It's season 3, episode 16. What a big season it's been.
It's been a long season, but...
16 episodes.
I want to make it to 20.
Well, when do we end season... Three.
I don't know, 20.
Is there a number?
I think 20 now.
20. 20 episodes.
Four episodes to go.
Four episodes. Okay, then we go into season 4, have a remission.
A remission.
An intermission.
So that should, what, 4 episodes, 2 weeks, that should take us leading up to Christmas, I guess?
Perfect. Sounds good. There we go. 20 is the goal. So welcome back. It has been a very long 12 days for me since our last podcast because I've not had a drink.
You've not had a drink.
This is my first evening.
First even drinking.
Yep, and I feel tipsy.
It's about to go downhill.
Terribly. It's definitely going to go downhill. Basically, I got some blood tests on the 19th. Not looking for anything nefarious, but I've had a lot of pain. Pain in my hands and in my joints. Mm. And in my finger joints, my knuckle joints, my toe joints. So I'm going to get a little test for arthritis.
Okay.
Tells you I'm getting old.
Yeah. But I'm glad you didn't say elbow joint because that's just too much masturbation.
Well, no, exactly. Yeah. No. That's a well-worn muscle. That is that's like the Olympics of muscle training. But yeah, just been weird 6 weeks where I've just had this pain from nowhere. So just going to rule out. Mm. Going to rule out anything or rule in something that is easily treated. So yeah. I've not been drinking for that reason. And as a plus side of that, I actually feel less fat and bloated.
That's good.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
So I think this is a little blowout tonight for the podcast and then back on it. And
does it mean we can actually start sampling 0-3 beers?
Mm.
0% beers, rather.
Well,
sometimes.
Carly did suggest that we did a zero alcohol podcast, but I said the fans will revolt.
Mm, they probably
They'll
would.
Stop following us. And Belgium will be no
as,
more.
We wouldn't be as entertaining.
Exactly. It definitely wouldn't.
Although, introverts,
to be
here.
Fair, have you listened to the last podcast back to the end?
Not right to the end, no. Was it a bit hairy towards the end?
It was a little bit slurry.
I mean, we had quite a few.
There was quite a lot of beer last time, and it was the last 20 minutes were definitely... a little bit inebriated and a little bit...
On that topic of beer,
yes,
we need to go head straight into the beer before we do any housekeeping.
I don't know why you're so strong about heading straight into the beer, but there must be a reason.
There's a good reason.
Okay. Past its sell-by date or something?
No, it's not past its sell-by date. It just might be getting warm.
Okay.
How can I word this creatively and fun? So today in the group chat,
yep,
one of the many group chats, I said... we're talking about today's booze, and I said, I hope you're hungry.
Right.
So, when it comes to food, this might be a massive giveaway. Mm. Particularly like pre-made food, we'll say.
Like a Yorkshire pudding?
Maybe. Mm. There's a couple of well-known names.
Right. Pre-made food. Aunt Bessie has got to be one of them.
Yeah, so I found a 4-pack... of all the Aunt Bessie's beers.
It is Aunt Bessie. As soon as you said pre-made food, yeah. It's got to be Aunt Bessie.
So we've basically got... they're only small cans. Because I was going to do two and then bring another two another time.
Good old Aunt Bessie's roast potatoes.
And I thought, I can't do two, then bring two another day because that felt like I was cheating almost.
Yeah, so we're going to get through them all. So is Aunt Bessie a British brand? Or is it something from
I think it is British.
Canada or something.
No, I'm pretty sure it is Aunt Bessie's.
Northern Monk is obviously a UK brand.
Aunt Bessie's logo, product names and photography are registered trademarks of Nomad Foods Europe Limited. So
who knows? But Aunt Bessie is a British staple. So if you're from a different country, basically Aunt Bessie is for lazy cooks.
Yorkshire
Aunt
puddings,
Bessie makes Yorkshire puddings, pancake mix, roast potatoes, probably bangers and match, a bit of everything basically. But now she makes beer.
There's some beer flavour.
A greedy bitch. So and only, she's taken over.
They're only 4.5%.
Okay, well, that's still
so we've got
reasonably
four of
strong.
Them. We're gonna share.
So we're gonna share flavors. Are they four different flavors?
Four different flavors.
Okay, fine. So we're gonna half and half and half and half.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Lots of tipples.
Yeah, and so there's a porter, a pale ale, and a brown ale.
Oh, nice. A porter sounds interesting.
But yeah, so as per tradition, you know, we have to do this in the way that all meals go. So we're going to start with
the lightest first.
No, you've got to start. You can't have your pudding yet. You have to have your roast dinner.
So the heaviest first.
No, literally the roast dinner.
Is there a roast dinner flavour? Yeah. Oh my God. I thought you were using a fucking analogy then or something. There's a roast dinner beer.
There's a roast dinner flavour.
Oh my God. It sounds terrible. Oh dear.
And then I'll...
God bless us on the podcast. I'm going to make a little sign of the cross now.
I'll tell you the others as we get to them.
Okay, so I don't know the other flavours yet, but the first one is a roast dinner. A roast dinner beer.
Yeah, and
oh my God.
It's got a lovely picture
God.
Of... Some,
it looks like a dog food can.
Could be some turkey. It's got some carrots, some parsnips, some stuffing, peas.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yorkshire pudding.
Gross.
I mean, I've had Yorkshire pudding beer. Now I found roast dinner beer.
I mean, look, we thought that garlic beer was going to be disgusting and it actually turned out to be nicer than fucking the really expensive beer I bought. So let's...
That's true.
So let's see.
So also, so these are made by Northern Monk Brewery.
That's good. I like Northern Monk.
So Northern Monk, they're a very well-established, well-known brewery. The only tagline I've got on here is, there's nowt better than a roast dinner at home.
That sounds like Aunt Bessie to me.
Yeah. I reckon
nice
that's
Yorkshire
how
she lass. Sounds. Love. I've just had 20 cigarettes and I'm going to have a roast dinner now with some gravy.
Do you know how many Yorkshire puddings I've had to bake today?
I had to make 50,000 of these cans before lunchtime.
Right, I think that's about half.
All right. All right, so let's have a look at this grotesque can. So it's oh, it's terrible. You know what it reminds me of? Is like one of those stickers you used to get for like FIFA, you know, or the World Cup.
Yeah.
Like you look at it and like it's a shiny. It's a shiny. It's so like the roast pudding shines.
It's got a real nice hollow effect to it.
Oh, roast dinner brown ale. There's nothing better than a roast dinner at home. Well, I'd argue that there is nothing worse than a roast dinner in liquid.
Oh, I mean, have you seen this in America? There's that guy who ate like a whole canned roast chicken.
Oh, and I bet he threw up afterwards.
So I think that's not bad, actually, is it? I've just got more head.
Sniff test.
Right, you ready? We're going for it.
Oh, right. I'm definitely getting a bit of vegetables.
Oh, I can smell them peas. Oh,
we're gonna stink the house out tomorrow. Right, chin, bottoms up.
It's actually not bad.
Once again, the bit of poetic license with the whole
roast
this
dinner.
Is what it. I'm getting more of it in the smell than I am in the taste.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
It just tastes like a lager.
Mm.
It tastes like an ale with a slightly carbonated head.
There is. I do get like right at the end, like an almost gravy-ish.
It's the gravy. Mostly what I'm getting is gravy.
You can taste
a chicken stock gravy.
Mm, there is an overtone towards the end.
I'm definitely not getting parsnip, undertone. Peas, red cabbage, chicken. Potatoes. Granted, those would be hard to get into one drink.
One day I want to get one of these beers and I just want it to be blended.
Taste what it is. Well, we've got three more cans. So let's see.
So yeah, so let's get this one down quickly.
Let's get this
and then
one
we'll
down
move on
quickly.
To...
They, obviously, these are... What are these? These are 330 milliliters.
Yeah, so we've not
we're having half of that per can. So, yeah, so to be honest with you, it's like four or five big gulps.
Yeah.
So it's not too bad. But I'm not getting a lot of roast dinner.
No. So while we're on this then, what would you say is one of your go-to puddings?
Pudding or cake?
A bit of both.
I would say, if we're saying just dessert in a restaurant, I'm always going to look for a New York cheesecake.
Mm.
Or warm apple pie, cold vanilla ice cream.
Okay. So when you're talking like Aunt Bessie's and what we're saying is British staples.
I'm going to say it's an apple pie.
We've got an apple crumble and
don't
custard.
Don't say spotted dick.
I've got one of them. That's for you later. There. So you go, you've chosen that one. We have apple crumble and custard.
Oh, a nice apple crumble. That is right up my street.
This is a pale ale.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get rid of the roast dinner because that was annoyingly not great.
It's not as creative because it still says there's not better than a roast dinner at home.
What, on the apple pie?
On all of them. Yeah. I was hoping it has something a bit more.
It's no better poetic. Than a sharp bit of apple.
Let me get my apple crumble in you.
Right, main course was down.
Main course is. This is the whole new meaning of like liquid lunch.
Oh, it is. It is. Except you can be fired if you have this for your lunch.
I mean, I can smell the apple from here.
Okay, so this one might redeem itself on number two. The fact we've gone to an apple pie. Two more left. I'm very confused.
I'll have to see how this pours a minute. Although I have noticed none of us have been brave enough to push ourselves over to cider yet.
No, cider is brutal for me. Mm. It's up there with white wine.
Yeah, I'm not. I used to drink loads of cider before I drink, but it's all I ever used to drink.
Well, in South Africa, I used to drink cider quite a bit. There's one called Hunter's Gold and Savannah Dry, which I think you can get.
Savannah, yeah, Savannah Dry. I used to drink loads of that.
Yeah, that was a big one in South Africa. We used to drink that at the Gold Club, but I don't know. It's just cider has a weird sort of kind of like pungent aftertaste, and you know, blows your head off.
So,
oh, I see what you mean.
I could smell the custard.
I can.
And the apple.
Oh, I really hope it tastes as good as it smells, because that's actually banging.
That's really good.
Smelling that can, it's like rhubarb and custard almost.
Almost, yeah. I'm glad it's not.
That says apple pie custard, yeah.
I'm glad it's not rhubarb, because I bloody hate it.
Oh, that can smells good. Right, well, there's only one way for this. It's disappointing us.
Yeah.
The smell of this. So, that smells really good. All right. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Let's try this one. Well, there is a taste there.
Mm. It's very... Do what? If anything, it's very ice creamy.
You know what reminds me of? You know those sweets that you can get that are like pink and like creamy?
I know exactly. As soon as you said it, that's exactly where my mind went. Yeah, yeah. Like the cream, like strawberry cream swirls. They're like a hard-boiled sweet.
That's right. Yeah. That's what I'm getting taste-wise. Yeah. Mm. I'm definitely getting that, and I'm getting the nose of that. Like when it's hitting the back of my mouth, it's coming up through my nose. I'm getting the smell. I'm getting those creamy.
This is far more what I was expecting of these beers than we got from the roast dinner.
Yeah, I couldn't have more than a pint of that. I struggle with a pint of that.
I'm glad we're sharing a can.
Because that is about the limit. But
it's very sickly.
At least I'm saying I get that. It's not quite apple pie. It's more like a rhubarb swirl.
You get more. Strawberry it's very creamy.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's hazy.
Yeah, it's a nice hazy.
Can't see through that. There's a.
It's very light. It's a very pale.
Yeah.
Haze.
A bit of sediment in there.
Oh, in trouble.
Kicking off there. That's right. Still recording. We're fine. So this is going to be I think it's going to be quite a hard swallow.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a good thing trying to smash all these through in one go, but I had four to get through.
Maybe we keep talking while we're drinking. Oh, he's done it. He's downed it one. Bear in mind, I'm on cold turkey for 12 days.
Yeah, I've been on San Miguel all week.
God, that is hard to drink.
It's sickly.
It's really hard to drink.
I'm hoping
it's a smidge too cold and it's quite carbonated.
Mm. So we've got two left.
Mm. Where do we go from apple crumble?
Have we got any
dessert? What's after dessert?
More dessert.
More dessert. Okay, fine. Yeah. So we've peaked at dessert. We're all desserts now.
Yeah, there's no more desserts.
Okay, fine. So
I mean,
like
from
after dinner cigar,
in my family, this is normal. So whenever we go to have like a get together for like a big roast or something. Excuse me, I've got gas coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in my family, it's quite normal. To have like a choice of
pudding.
We have our roast, and then there'd be like there could be a trifle, there could be a gatto, and there could be something else. I don't know. But the running joke, and I say joke, and sort of reputation I now have to live up to, is they're like, oh, so Paul, you're just having one of each, yeah? So, yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Same thing. So three puddings is normal. They normally just put it all in one bowl. Ready from this. So, another British staple for puddings. What do you reckon? Go on. This is a nice quiz.
I already said spotted dick, but if it's
not that.
So we've had apple pie. Oh, tiramisu. No. A lot of English love it. I mean, ice cream would be one.
Yeah, no. Well, is it got ice cream in that? Oh, no, it's that. I mean, they're both with custard.
Yeah.
So they could.
It has to be a rhubarb. Rhubarb with
custard? No, there's not a rhubarb one. No.
Custard. Oh, I don't know now. Apple pie is the one with custard.
So
banana pudding.
No, custard? Not banana. If it is, I wouldn't have bought
sticky toffee pudding.
Sticky toffee pudding. Yeah, he's got it.
Let's do it. That's one of my favorites.
Do what? I'm happy that you're getting them. It's fine. But then the last one, I'm sure is going to be fucking awful. because we've had similar flavors in the past, and it's never been very nice. And like I can almost, thinking of it, I can always taste back to one that we had that was horrific, which I believe is one that Brad bought us.
Yes. Okay. Cool. I'm on the wavelength now.
So,
oh, that's a dark one. Oh, that's dark.
Bit more.
Oh, gassy.
That's a porter. This might have to be a slow burner, this one.
That's going to be a heavy one.
I mean, it's hard now. What we should have done is I've had new glasses or rinsed our glasses out beforehand because it still smells very.
I think you need to work on your measuring there.
Oh, sorry, have I got a bit too much?
Just a little bit more. But to be honest with you, I'm not complaining at this point because it's hard to drink. So we have. Okay, so for those that are listening, we have a Northern Monk Aunt Bessie's sticky toffee pudding and custard porter. 4.5% volume, 330ml, and there's nothing now better than a Ros dinner at all. It's still saying the same message.
That is the title of this episode. Nothing more. It's episode 16. There's nothing better.
There's now better than a Ros dinner at all. After you've got the call and shoveled it to get the heating on, you got to make an Aunt Bessie sticky toffee pudding and custard. If you've got any Yorkshire listeners, I'm sorry for butchering your accent.
I know
that is a Yorkshireman, so I can.
I know of a couple of, I know of at least one that talks to me on Instagram.
There you go. There you go. My dad's from Rotherham.
Okay.
And moved to Bournemouth in his teenage years. Okay, I'm again like the last one. I am getting that you've drunk it already. You didn't even wait. You didn't wait for the nose. But I hope it repeats on you. The previous one's repeating on me.
I'll just forget about that.
Stomach ache already. Right, so this is a porter.
Porter. So it's
very dark.
So it's a dark.
It's dark. It's cold.
It's almost like a.
It's like a depressing winter's night.
Like a stout, right, almost.
Here we go. Chin.
Chin. It's the burnt toffee flavour you get.
I mean, I am getting it with that. I mean, that for me is like a, like you said, the top of a charred sticky toffee pudding. Definitely, like, at least you could say, I get it.
Yeah.
First one, like the garlic beer. What?
Yeah.
I can't even taste anything.
I mean, I'm still really hurt, but I went on a holiday to the Isle of Wight and the bottle said produced in Spain.
Exactly. Now, the second one, I got the notes of it. Didn't necessarily get the taste. It was off. It was a desserty taste, but it was definitely like strawberry sweet with a bit of that creamy sort of.
Yeah. It was more. Thing. I found it tasted more like ice cream, if anything.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas this one, I think maybe because it's a porter, I don't know, but it's a bit burnt smell.
Yeah, so you get that.
Sticky toffee pudding is a bit burnt.
Yeah, you get that cindery sort of taste.
That is, again, very hard to drink. None of these have been easy so far, Paul. They're not easy drinks at all.
When have I been known to do anything easy? I always make life hard for myself. It's what I do best.
It's only easy when it's you and me.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of does what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
Sticky toffee pudding.
So I think when
I'm not be in a hurry to rush to the shops and buy these again. I'm not gonna lie.
But do you know what? We actually bought them in the Isle of Wight.
Did you?
Yeah, we found them in Morris. found them in Morrison's. Just like, you need to buy these. I was like, I have to buy them.
I bet Aunt Bessie was like, over here, they don't have much choice. They'll fucking drink my sticky toffee pudding here, and they'll like it.
There's a horrible euphemism in there somewhere, and I'm not going to...
Because if it was mainland, they'd be like, hey, I'm not drinking that shit. So we've been through the main dinner. We're on to our second pudding.
Yeah, we've got final pudding to go.
Oh, final pudding. So, and it's got custard again.
Yeah.
They love a bit of custard, old Aunt Bessie. It's one of her staples.
Aunt Bessie's custard.
She loves it. To be fair, her custard is pretty good, but I'm trying to think, with an apple pie and custard, with a sticky toffee pudding and custard, what more can go with custard? I did say banana.
No, not banana. Trust me, banana is the one thing in the world I detest.
Is it obvious? Or is it like...
Kind of obvious. Random? Yeah. I'll just, you know, to save the listeners' ears and stuff, we have a... Jam Roly Poly.
Oh, Jam Roly Poly.
But I look back on anything we've had as Raspberry Ripple or Jammy before, they've always been bitter as sin. Mm. And they've always been really tart. And we've gone, this is fucking disgusting.
Oh, considering these are 4.5, they're blowing my head off.
Well, you've not drunk for a week.
That's true.
You've not immersed yourself.
I've desensitized.
I've had Miss Anne Miguel all week, I'm fine.
But this is like,
you're going to sleep well. You got park run tomorrow?
No.
Good. You'll sleep well tonight.
No, I need a beer trim tomorrow. But these are going down very difficultly.
I think because I'm trying to get through them in such a quick amount of time.
They're not smooth in the slightest. Like when we had garlic beer, surprisingly lovely.
It was very nice. And the Yorkshire pudding beer was very nice.
And the Yorkshire pudding beer was very nice. But these are like synthetic-y.
They're very synthetic.
Aren't they?
I think a lot of those like this are. But I think that's what I reckon. Going back, I think our last episode, I think me and you need to try and sit down and work out a table of where we would rate what we've had so far.
What off the top of your head, what would you think would be one of your favourites?
We've done some wild beers. We have had one that I thought was really nice. I'm pretty sure you bought it, but I forgot what it was. There was one that I really enjoyed.
I have to go back for the episode and
figure out. Yeah, but I reckon that'd be quite a good thing to tournament style.
Definitely in the relegation zone.
Yeah. Or do we go back, buy one of each beer again, and then we drink them all in one episode? No, that's
I don't think that would be wise.
We'll pull it to the listeners' poll.
I don't think that would be wise.
Anyway,
to do every beer in one episode, that would be something like 26 beers.
Well, yeah, because there's been the odd four can night.
Yeah,
exactly. Three can night.
We would be wrecked.
We would be.
So Jam Roly Poly is next.
Is
that what you've got in your glass here? Is that still, you're still drinking?
I'm still drinking the porter.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah. I was thinking of trying to, this would move on. And
let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's interject.
Interject with the next topic. So a little bit of housekeeping.
Yep.
I've been at work a week. Mm-hmm. It's just been work. It's terrible. It's fine. It's fine. It's terrible. Customers are idiots. Job done. Yeah. General public are stupid. You, however, after, I think we've mentioned it about 4 weeks in a row now, your rebrand has finally hit green and launched.
Oh my goodness, yes.
You've gone for gold.
So, Wednesday, so there's two moving parts with our business, right? So, we are a small property company. I say property rather than estate agent, whatever, because we do property management, we do lettings, we do sales.
Mm.
And I do the marketing mostly for the business. So anything visual, I do the property tours, I do the drone footage, I do the photography, I do the descriptions. I also do everything else. So, like, you know, I don't just do the fancy stuff. I still speak to tenants who've got problems and still, you know, so it's all of those things. But I'm the only one in the business that has the creative brain.
Mm.
I can do Photoshop, I can do, you know, design, I can do logo branding. So I rebranded the company. And we sat down and came up with a name. We got a name we were happy with between the four of us, the four directors.
So it's
took a long time.
It's a very cool name.
And it took a long time to kind of land, because the name was there a year ago and didn't like it. And I think it was because we've kind of chopped the name around, taking a couple of vowels out, made it very edgy, so it doesn't read like you would read it, but it does.
Yeah. But
I don't want to give the name away on podcast because of stalkers. But it's been quite cool. So it's been 3 months. It's really repeating on me, this beer. Wow. It's been 3 months leading up to maybe more, four to five months leading up to this week.
Mm.
And what you don't realize is our company is about 17 years old. And you don't realize how much you have to change after 17 years.
Yeah.
It's stuff that just keeps, like a peeling an onion. There's a layer and a layer.
There's always
layer.
Something else.
You're like, oh, I haven't done that. Oh, I haven't changed this. Oh, damn.
Because any rebrand, you already know, is a big list, especially in like your, well, you've got like signwriting, leaflets, business cards, uniforms.
Yeah.
Like
portals, compliance software, deposit registration schemes.
Yeah. I suppose, yeah, you've got all those things in the back end that just know you as your registered company is this.
Well, that's it.
All that has to change.
Exactly. It's not even just so much the what the customer sees. It's all the regulatory stuff in the background. Like, yes, we are accredited to this scheme or this arbitrary body, but that doesn't exist anymore because we've changed our trading name with Companies House. So we've got to change all of that.
Yeah.
And then it's silly things. Like, I thought, oh, shit, we haven't changed our voice, what would you call it?
Like the answer phone almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like auto attendant or whatever you want to call it. Like our phone system says, hello, welcome to da 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 da. And you're like, oh, I've got to do all of those. I've got all the sub menus. I've got to do all of it again. And it's just all it's been this week since Wednesday is like, oh, crap, there's another thing I need to change. And while you're doing that, you also have to notify your customers, your potential customers, the ones that you've been.
Sort of your warm leads,
warm leading for the last year, like come and work with us, come work with us. You're like, by the way, we've rebranded. Then on top of that, this week, we also bought another company. So there was a small property company we bought that had about 40 to 50 managed properties, and we bought it, and that happened the same day we rebranded.
That's crazy.
So I've been pushing really hard to get all of the branding sorted, or at least to a point where if their customers look at us, we don't show the old brand, because what you don't want to do is go, hello, we're X, and then the next day, we're Y.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're not only going to be like, oh, shit, I've had to move away from my current managing agent because they've sold the business, and then within 24 hours, the business that bought the business
has changed. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, we have to be the new name by the time we buy this book.
Yeah, otherwise it doesn't work.
And we can say, like, we are so-and-so that used to be known as so-and-so.
Yeah.
But they have to find a website that points
to... Yeah, because I remember on the day I text you saying, oh, you know, good luck with your move and stuff. Yeah. And then you're like, yeah, website's not working.
Yeah. So basically the problem, it wasn't so much as a problem, but our lead designer of the website is in Colombia.
Okay.
He's an English guy. He moved over there last year. He used to be in England. And his team is in the UK, but he lives in Colombia. But there is a massive time difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, the website will be live today. And I was like, it's 4 p.m. Our day is nearly over.
Yeah.
Can you let me know if it's going to be live UK time?
Yeah, when you've got that time delay, today is very ambiguous.
I'm like, yeah, I know, I get that. You will be live today. But if it's 8 o'clock tonight, that's not going to work for me.
Because, see, I made that same situation work. For myself, I had a brand chasing me this week. Like, we've got that content that needs to be going live this week. Like, is it going to be live? And I was like, yeah, it's going live today, knowing that my this evening is there today.
Yeah, it is hard with time zones. So there was that pressure, and the website went live at 5 p.m.
Mm.
And then at 5 p.m., we were able to onboard or start thinking about onboarding. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week have been about preparing. Onboarding their customers, onboarding their tenants, because it's also they need to know who they're paying
the
rent to, you know, so they need to pay it to us.
Mm.
So onboarding a book is never easy, and there'll be loads of stuff, I'm sure, over the next week that's going to happen, like problems. We haven't even got the keys yet for those properties from this other.
There'll be phone you saying, this doesn't work, that's not right, come fix it now.
Landlord's going to be like, I haven't got my rent, you know, what's happening? And all those sort of things, contractors are going to come to us saying, I haven't been paid my invoice for this work I did 3 weeks ago. And just like, it's going to have to unpick all of that. So whenever you buy a book, there's always drama that comes with it.
Mm.
Because people who sell books aren't necessarily running a good ship.
No.
you do as much due diligence as you can to make sure they're not fraudulent when they're doing stuff that's moody. And they're not. They're not doing it moody. But, you know, we run a very slick operation. Very, very easy to produce documents, details, financial statements. We you know, we are very, very, very good at that stuff. But other companies that maybe work with, what, 2-3 staff, one does the financials, one does this, it's just unorganized.
No communication, no...
They have stuff saved on the cloud, but it's like, it's a bit disjointed and all over the place. We've got to pull all that information
together. There'll be a lot of sloping shoulders going, well, that's their job.
Yeah.
They deal with that.
Yeah, so it's a weird one. So it's been a really hectic week, and on top of that, we've actually had quite a lot of new customers come on, and obviously I do all the marketing, so I've been out to 4, 5, 6 properties this week, filming them, and those things have to be edited, you know, stylized, add music, add branding. I've been doing that late into the evenings, which has then impacted on my content creation. So,
because you've done that content, then you're burnt out for any more content. Yeah.
Last night I was working till 11 on one listing that's worth £850,000, and I was doing the floor plans, doing the photos, doing the video, typing up the description, doing the room measurements.
Because didn't you normally have what's his face do floor plans? Because he did mine.
We sometimes outsource it. We are basically, our goal is to basically bring everything in house.
Okay.
Within reason. So if it's stuff that we can do in house or I can do, it saves us money.
Yeah.
I don't get paid for it. I get paid my salary, which is shockingly bad considering the amount of time I've been there.
Mm.
But if we paid someone else to come and do a floor plan, it'd be £50.
Yeah.
So 10 of those a month on a small business, £500, it's just money saved.
True.
It's just more work for me.
You need to ask them for that £25 rather than £50.
Exactly. But sadly, it doesn't work like that.
No.
But yeah. But obviously, buying a book is good for a business because suddenly your revenue increases. It spikes by £4,000 a month, £5,000 a month, whatever. For a small business, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I get paid, a proportion of my income is based on turnover. So for me, it is good. It's like a soft pay rise.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, more like the bonus OTE side has a slight bump.
Exactly. Yeah. So I get a little bump, and that's probably the best word for it, is I will hopefully see a little bump in my pay, but it's not a pay rise. There's more work included.
Mm.
So you are working for that extra money.
Yeah.
It's not a, you know, getting paid more for doing the same. It's, there's more work, but you'll earn more. So, yeah.
Swings and roundabouts.
It's been a good, although it sounds like I might be moaning, I've loved it because... Yeah. It's the buzz that we needed.
Mm.
The office needed, the staff needed. We've obviously done the rebrands, everything that's cool and new and different. And then on top of that, another book, new website, new business cards, new social media. So for everyone, it's like fresh start.
It's something to be excited for, isn't there? That's the thing. Because a lot of businesses, and like you find it in my trade as well, like after a while, it just becomes stagnant. Plateau. You need something.
Plateau.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even though there's nothing wrong, everyone gets a bit jaded.
Yeah,
and plateaus out. So to have a new focus is like, right, we need to now get the reputation of this new brand up.
Yeah, so you know, something to graph for, isn't it?
Focus on it. So yeah, it's been good. We had a little drink. I did a valuation at 4 o'clock on a Friday to do like video, drone, photos. I finished it at 5:15. I rushed it. To be fair, I didn't rush this one.
Mm.
The house wasn't anything special. £950,000.
It's located. I knew we spoke about it earlier. It's location.
It's location. Yeah. It's a really nice postcode. I wouldn't touch that house with a barge pole personally.
No.
It was mock Tudor 1980s. Not that big, 4-bed. It's all right.
But not fun.
A lot of money spent on it. You know, the owners have lived there since it was built, like brand new. They've lived there since the 80s. And just very dated and very not nice.
Mm.
Gardens uninspiring. But I took the drone up. Right. I took the drone up, and when you look at the neighbours, oh my god, like Bel Air,
yeah,
swimming pools, extensions, palm trees, astroturf,
oh wow,
pools, you know, expensive cars, gated entrances. It's a very expensive postcode. Mm. So yeah, very, very interesting to see that when you take it up and see how extravagant that postcode.
Some of them are, yeah.
Yeah, but this one is like the runt.
Because you do drive down those roads, and because it's like it's on the way to town.
Yeah.
And you do drive around thinking, who the bloody hell lives here? Like,
how can they afford it? What do they do for work?
Like, it has to be like where Bournemouth football players live, like, surely.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Talbot Woods, very similar to Queen's Park, in that it's what do they call it? Generational wealth.
Yeah, like you say, in the 80s, when they bought that house, it was probably 300 grand, which is like what I've paid for my house recently.
Yeah.
And now prices have gone up, so it's
should be over a million.
Doubled, yeah.
Yeah, so it's less than a million, so it's seen as a bargain.
Yeah, yeah, for that area, yeah.
But you're like, yeah, not for me. I'd rather live in this house.
Too rich for my blood.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, and it's nothing special. But there we go. That's just a little housekeeping. That's the housekeeping of the week taken care of.
Done.
Very, very busy, and I've got another busy week next week, so it's like going to lead into next week. And on top of that, I've got to do masses of content.
Yeah.
I've got RazorCon coming up.
RazorCon's going to be something to be excited for.
Razor. You will be here tonight and see some exclusive products that are not released yet.
No. Hush, hush.
I have a new Hoover in the house, which I need to unbox. And a few other bits and pieces have come through. So I need to get back on the content. One of the most exciting things I got, which I had a little play with, was the Rog Ally.
The Rog Ally, yeah. It's really cool, actually.
It's very cool.
I'm very surprised. Like,
I had a faulty one.
Yes, you had a bit of stick drift.
I had a dead right stick, basically. But we determined that it was down to the packaging. Because I think if you buy a Rog Ally...
Because what they're really detailing for like almost a grand, aren't they?
Eight something.
Right? Yeah.
Now, if you bought this and that box came, that's fine. Because you're the first person to take it out of the box. And it probably is... hermetically sealed, whatever.
Yeah.
But when this has been passed around, because this is a test unit, I don't get to keep this. When it's been passed around like 5, 6, 7, God knows how many times, the lid is broken of the box. There is no clearance.
No, when that box sits, it is horrific.
It's a really weird thing to describe without showing someone, but basically the actual Rog Ally gets hammered.
Yeah.
Because it's sitting right on top of the packaging.
When you pull it in the box, it sits proud of the lower part.
Exactly.
And then when the top part goes on, it's more the sticks are pretty much touching the inside of the
top. Exactly. So it's pure pressure on top of the Rog Ally. So no wonder the sticks were broken if it's been passed around 4, 5, 6, 7 times.
And it's been boxed up and posted.
Exactly. So I had a faulty unit first time. I've got a new one that's been delivered now. This one seems okay, and they do look cool.
They are really cool looking.
They do look really cool, and... they are basically, which I wasn't expecting, a full Windows PC.
Yeah, see, when I first saw them, I thought they were going to be kind of like have like their own mini...
Android-y sort.
Yeah, their own mini OS, but it's basically Steam, Xbox, PS, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was expecting.
Windows 10.
Yeah.
From the looks of it. So it's got Windows 10, Xbox, Game Pass, my Asus Armory crate, and all the stuff that you think on there. It's basically synced with my Microsoft cloud.
So anything you've got saved on...
is on there now.
Is on there, yeah.
So all my Word documents, all my PDFs, all my stuff that I've done on my laptop, this laptop here,
yeah,
is on my Rog Ally.
That's amazing.
It's basically a handheld PC. Yeah.
So you could literally just take that and a display cable to work and you go, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, you need a power cable because or the power cable in all the time because it's a bit thirsty on the old battery. But you could essentially dock it, plug it in.
And then you're working.
And you connect the keyboard to it with Bluetooth and you're away.
That's mad, isn't it? It does, it's very nice looking.
It's very cool.
And I think with your like white setup, it looks really well. Looks really nice.
But I'm gutted I'm going to give it back.
Yes, weird, isn't it? I mean, I see why they do it because £800 a pop.
The value of it.
Yeah.
But you never know. One day, if you're listening, Rog, I'm testing it and it's awesome.
And I want one too.
Yeah, exactly. But we have a history on this podcast of vocalizing our goals.
Yes.
I've always been a big one, and we're going off topic here, of basically visualizing the goal. When I used to play sport at quite a high level, when I was playing golf in particular, and I was competing at a very high junior level and playing for county, over there it would have been called provincial. Over here it's called county. My golf coach at the time would always stress visualizing the shot. Visualize the shot, see it in your head. And footballers do a similar thing when they're taking free kicks. Visualize the ball going in. Visualize how it's going to shape. You're going to bend it right to left. You've got to visualize it in your head. I think it's quite similar for content creation.
Yeah.
And for things that you want to do.
You're almost like, it's that, you see people and they're like the spiritual, people are like very spiritualist. And they say you manifest your goals. It's the same thing.
Sort of thing. And I think when we've, you know, weirdly, we have spoken about quite a few things that I wanted to do. VR.
Got the VR.
That year. PS5. Got one that year. Drone.
It's our fans. Our fans from Belgium and Taiwan. They're doing it for us.
Well, that's it. But there is a big thing, you know, about visualizing your goals. And sometimes it's about just talking out loud about them.
Yes.
You know, it's not just about, I want to get expensive stuff. Otherwise, I'd have a Lamborghini and a big house. But within reason, if there's something that is tangibly at a distance, you can get it. Sometimes it's about vocalizing what you want. Because your brain kind of engages then to, like, work a way to get that goal.
Yeah.
You know, if you said, I want to, by the end of this year, have a house, well, you did it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean? You made that decision, you vocalized it.
You put the effort in, yeah, you made it happen.
Because unless you vocalize it and make it a real thing, if it's just in your head, it might not do anything. But when you start to vocalize it, other cogs start turning, and you talk to estate agents, you talk to me, you look on the market, you do other stuff, you put yours on the market, you find a buyer. Everything starts with actually talking out loud about stuff.
Saying it.
So it's like a miniature version on our podcast is me saying, I want a Rog Ally. And then it's going to happen.
The powers that be.
The podcast powers.
Podcast powers.
Podcast powers. So is there anything you want, Paul? Would you like a...
I'd like to win the lottery.
I think you're male or female, but...
Yeah. I'd like to win the lottery. I get a lot of emails about that Zambian lottery, but I don't press that one.
Yeah, the old Western Credit Union.
Yes.
The Prince of Zambia is just...
Yeah, I'm like royalty in seven different towns over there, I'm sure.
Well, there we go. So hopefully, if the podcast gods work like they have for me...
Yeah. I mean, you say that...
Prince very soon.
Think about it. When we first started coming on the podcast, I said, John, don't have a keyboard collab.
No, you do.
Like fucking hundreds of the bastards.
You need to vocalize your goals, Paul.
You do. I need to say more. I don't really know. You keep putting me on the spot and it's not good. I'm not good when I'm put on the spot.
When
I go home, I'll go, I've got a great answer for that.
What about a chair collab?
I've had an email already.
There you go. The podcast works again.
Although, the weirdest thing. So we're just sidetracking. We were going to move on to parenting next, but it's not a very exciting topic. Layla bought home a violin. I'm pretty pissed off about it. But equally, I'm going to try and play it myself. So, done. Anyway.
You're like Sherlock Holmes for me now.
Parenting done.
Yeah.
This company come to me for a chair collab. They're like, we're going to work for you, blah, 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 blah. The usual, we've seen your profile.
Oh, we follow you for a long
time. Yeah. One of them. And it's a UK-based company, weirdly. Okay. Small company.
Fair enough.
And I was looking for their website. Yeah, real nice looking one. It's like 350-ish. Then there's another one which is about 275. And I was like, oh, I quite like that one, actually. Like, that's the one...
No.
When you look at the website, when they come, when every brand first messages you, you look at their products and you're like, right, what would I like?
I always hope with a brand email they have a website.
Yeah. And you go, what would I like? Yeah. And I thought, right, that's the top spec one. Obviously, I would like that one. But this one, I know negotiating wise, that's likely what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
So then they were like, here's a list of stuff we think would fit your page.
Yeah.
And some of them were okay. They were like, remember the old X rockers? You used to get sit on the floor, speakers in them.
Yes. Speakers in. I had one. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a couple of them, some with stands and arms, some without. Then do you remember that really naff PC chair I used to have, the first one I bought for the setup?
Yeah.
Basically one that looked like that. Yeah. And I was just like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Then the other one was one up from that, which just looked nice. And that was kind of it. So I was kind of like, cool, I like what you've sent me is nice and that. But I must say, at this point, all they've asked for is a story.
Okay.
One story. And I'm thinking, So try and...
24-hour post.
And you're going to give me 125 quid, the top chair there. And I was like, it's easy money or easy work. But I was like, how about I'll do you a full unboxing video, you know, build the chair, the lot. I'll even mention in my story still all these products you've mentioned, but I'd like that chair there. Ghosted.
Oh, it's annoying.
Very long-winded way of saying it,
ghosted by one of the brands that I have worked with the most in the last few years, and also one that I have a very good relationship with, and one that I really, really like, sent me a affiliate program email today.
I've had a few of those this week.
Now, the thing is, I do really love these guys.
Mm.
I use their products every day. I can't say any more because it will give it away, but I use them for work, I use them for play, I use them for content creation. They are fantastic and they're awesome guys. But there was a bit of this email, which I've heard many times in recent weeks, that broke my spirit this morning. I went to work. I don't want to say I was upset because it sounds dramatic, but I was upset.
Yeah, yeah.
I was emotionally upset.
Yeah, because I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I was emotionally upset because I expected more. It's not that I didn't expect the affiliate scheme thing. Because, okay, fine. I like your product, so I don't mind putting a code in my bio.
No.
I don't mind it. I'm not going to push it. I'm not going to like be like Mr. Salesman. But I don't mind putting a code in my bio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I get a sale, you make some money, I make some money.
Yeah, right. It's one of those, like, with affiliate schemes, they go, we'll give you a discount code, you'll make whatever.
Yeah.
You know full well, we're not making anything.
Yeah, I don't have a problem putting a link in my bio. I'm not in it for the money. I'm not, it would be nice to make money, but I'm aware that you don't make money from affiliate schemes. Yeah. So, like, I'll put the link in the bio, I get a sale, brilliant. Woo, yeah.
I'm not going to sell a million chairs or...
Exactly. You know, Instagram isn't about selling. Go on TikTok for that shit and get some mum in a kitchen who's selling a spatula. Those things will sell.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're cheap. A £400 item is not going to sell 30,000 units. But it was this wording that I got that upset me. Guaranteed 15% commission. When you jump on board with our program, you're in for a guaranteed treat. So I'm in for a treat.
You're in for a treat.
A minimum 15% commission on every sale generated through your unique affiliate link on the affiliate store. Just think about it. If a product costs $399, that's a hefty $59 in your pocket for each sale. Now imagine this. Secure 50 sales of a £399 product through your affiliate link, and you're looking at a $2,902 commission. 50 sales.
Yeah.
You want me to make 50 sales. And I'm not here to sell your product. I'm here to create content.
I mean, I'm here to show off how good it is. And we've had the discussion tonight, possibly make one of the best things in the world.
But no, the thing is, they are easy to sell, but people don't buy in that sort of volume from a creator. No. They just don't. I think the only people that seem to buy this mass, you know, sell to 3,000 people are TikTokers that sell shit.
Yeah, that sell the £20 Game Boy ripoff or...
Yeah, or a garden hack or a kitchen hack or a home hack that costs $4.99. People don't go and go... I know what, I'm going to use Matt's code for that $400 item. There's no discount.
No.
They'll just go on and buy it themselves.
That's it. They're not like they're saving 10%, 20%.
It's not like it's a unique benefit.
No, it's a support the creator thing.
Mm, it's not. And the thing is, there are 50 other creators offering the same discount.
Yeah.
So they probably also follow the same creators. The
same people, yeah.
So they're diluted down. So it's not like you are the only creator in the UK who markets this product with this exclusive discount of 10 or 15%. You're one of the 1,000 creators who probably offer this discount.
Yeah.
They can get it from anyone. It's a really high-priced item, and they're probably not going to remember at the point of purchase who they saw the product through.
No.
They're going to go, oh, I'll just go to the website.
Yeah. Oh, I actually really wanted that. Now they've said it's good, I'll go buy it.
I'll just go on the website and buy it.
Because
I don't get any commission for
that. Because a lot of, like... In today's age, if we're looking to buy something, first thing we do is we look at the reviews.
We do. And that's the thing.
And that's kind of, as a content creator, what we want to do. We want to give the reviews.
You do.
And I don't want to make the money.
You want to create the content. You want to demystify the product. You want to say, this is what it is. This is what it does. This is quite cool.
This is the good bits. These are the bad bits. This is my final.
Up like that.
No.
When people ask for content, they want it to be overly positive. So the problem is with that, there's a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, you are not offering a honest review. Therefore, if people buy it, it's based off your honest review. You're being asked to make really pretty content. And that is a bit of a stigma.
There's a way of making the content and the product look good and still be honest. I think
the only way to do that is to not do a review. I don't review any of my products. Mm. I basically do a product feature.
Presentation.
It's a
showcase.
Yeah, it's a showcase.
Yeah.
So basically, it's this is the box. This is what it looks like. This is what it says it does. I'm not giving you an opinion.
No.
I'm just saying, look at this cool bit of stuff. And most of it is cool because I turn away a lot of stuff, obviously. But there is nothing in this room that you've used and I've used that is shit.
No. No, that's very true.
You know, all of it's good.
Yeah.
Because of selective and what I do. So if I'm posting about stuff, I guess you're kind of going to automatically think it must be good.
Yeah.
Because it is. All of the stuff that I have in this room, in this gaming room, is cool tech. It's cool. I'm a dad. I'm a nerd. It's all cool.
Yeah, it's all stuff that you would have one way or another, I guess. Yeah.
But the difference is, some cool tech is 30 quid, and some cool tech is £500.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to sell 5,000 units at 500 quid.
No.
Get it out of your head.
Ain't paying your bills.
Give your head a wobble.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. So there we go.
That's a bit of a rant, but we're there.
That's my rant of the week.
So last night,
mm-hmm.
PlayStation,
yes,
had their State of Play.
Oh, it completely ran on the radar for me.
Yeah, I knew about it, but it was Thursday night. Thursday night's game night for me and my pals, so we were busy playing Back for Blood. So I watched it today at work.
Yeah,
and it was quite VR heavy. There was a lot of VR games on there.
PSVR, yeah.
Yeah, PSVR 2.
Okay.
Vocalizing
it, I would like one of those.
Yeah, I would like one of those too. Sony.
Make it happen.
Make it happen. Smith's Toy Store. So the first game that came up there was called Baby Steps. It's a VR game. Actually looks very... I don't know if I'd pay money for it,
mm-hmm.
but it looks very funny because by looks of it, you're some guy who's trying to make it up a mountain.
Right.
But... you control everything, each foot. So you walk 1 foot at a time and you have to keep your balance.
Okay.
And yeah, like you have to try and step. And it always, you know, when you get like a game and it almost like bugs out and like the arms and the legs go really weird. Really weird, not really. Yeah. Beer's keeping up for me. Catching up. Yeah, it was like the legs are all like all over the place and you have to try and keep your balance. It looked quite funny.
Okay.
And I think
if you'd have... what was that other one? Like, not Fall Guys. What's the...
Humans Fall Flat.
Humans Fall Flat. Like that?
Similar sort of physics, yeah, where you're trying to keep your balance.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was on there. That looked quite cool. There's a new Avatar game coming out.
Okay.
It's like an open world game. You're...
I didn't play the first one.
No, I didn't think there was a first one.
So you said new Avatar game.
Yeah, it's a new game coming out.
New, brand new game.
It's a new game coming out, and it's Avatar.
Not a new Avatar, a brand new game of Avatar.
Yeah, it's called Avatar Frontiers, something like that.
What's that on PlayStation?
It was on the PlayStation thing, so I'm assuming it might go multi. It might go multi-brand. Oh, I don't know.
It's a great franchise.
Yeah, it looked okay.
If it was like a mixture between like a battle royale and not a battle royale, that's the wrong one.
It's
a mixture between a FPS.
So it looks like it's a third-person open world.
Yeah.
Thing. It's obviously. It's in Pandora. You can fly.
You get to sleep with a blue woman.
I think you are a blue person, so maybe.
Nice.
But you fly the things, you ride the animals, you know. It's very...
To be fair, being an animated film, that's very geared up to being a game. It's a very light jump to a game.
It is, yeah.
So that would make sense.
It looks okay. I mean, yeah. I'm not the biggest fan of Avatar in the first place. So I don't know if I'll play it. We'll see.
Yeah.
They had Resi 4 mm-hmm. going to VR, Resi 4 DLC.
Yeah.
I couldn't do Resident Evil on VR. I would need to wear a nappy. I'd shit myself.
But yeah, I need to get more VR games.
The one that stood out for me, which I did quite like the look of, is Ghostbusters VR.
Nice.
Four-player multiplayer, going around.
What's that based on? Which film?
It's his own thing.
No.
You can upgrade your photon cannons.
That sounds cool.
And I'm like, that looks quite cool.
Driving the Ghostbusters car.
Yeah.
Being on top of a building and getting them
burst. Shoot, yeah, throwing your traps out.
That would be cool.
That did look quite cool, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm all in for that. So yeah, PSVR headset, that is the next thing I need.
Mm. Now you've got a PS5. Rule about manifesting. We're going to jinx it.
We're manifesting now. So yeah, that sounds really cool. So
but that's kind of all there really was on there, to be honest.
We're talking about games.
Mm-hmm.
You are playing Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate 3, yes.
Are you enjoying it?
I am enjoying it. I've restarted it.
So have you finished it?
No.
So you just restarted?
It's restarted.
Fair enough.
It's very... It's quite difficult.
And it's nice that you and I have different gaming tastes, because like you've obviously gone through all the Dark Souls, and then mm-hmm. most recently was
Diablo,
and now you've gone to Baldur's Gate, and I have no interest in any of
those games. It's very good, yeah. And it's very open. Like,
yeah,
you can do a lot of things on there, but it doesn't tell you you can do them. So it's very much because it's based on Dungeons and Dragons, and it very much is very true to that, in the fact that you can walk into this room and you can fight these people, or you could, before you initiate a combat with them, you could find something that might give you an edge. Like, for example, I had this objective, and every time I tried to do it, I ended up having to fight this entire like village, basically. Yeah. And I just couldn't do it. So in the end, after a few dialogue options and a little bit of trial and error, lots of reloads and reloading the game, I figured out if I said something, a certain thing to this person, they then walked across this bridge. And it just so happened that when I got my bow and arrow out, I could shoot that bridge. And so I managed to get this person to walk across the bridge, shoot it out from underneath their feet. They fall down into the abyss below. And then it didn't trigger off the entire base having to fight me.
Gotcha.
And then I just moved on to the next objective.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, my brother's been playing it on PC, and he's basically like, yeah, there's loads of people I didn't want to fight, so I just pushed them off cliffs. And I witnessed it for the first time the other day. One of my party members got locked in a cutscene somehow, but three of the other party members, it didn't trigger for them.
So that's a bug?
No, it's just the way that person obviously just entered far enough in, and the other people hadn't. So with the other people, I managed to walk around, backtrack round, and then just push this person into a pool of lava.
Nice.
And I was like, well, they need to fight you now.
Nice. Well, obviously, I'm playing Starfield.
You are playing Starfield.
Which is, we had a little look at earlier, and it's a good-looking game.
It does, yeah. You were playing it when I got here.
It's obviously very Fallout. So the environments are better than Fallout. Better textures, better graphics.
It does look, yeah.
The characters.
The character models, you can tell it's Bethesda.
You can definitely tell. Definitely framework there that they work to. It's like just slightly more like higher resolution of pixels work, but the way they move, the way they talk, the way they look, the dialogue choices, the four options, or you've got to work your way through all four conversations, very Bethesda. But it's good, you know, it is good. It's one of those that you definitely need to get over the hump, and the hump is about 4 or 5 hours
of the opening.
Yeah, once you get over that hump, you kind of unlock stuff and it gets a bit better and you've got more options, and then you start getting into the addictive world of ship building and building these cool as fuck spaceships.
Some of the ones that like we've been sharing in group chats and you see on the internet, there's brilliant. Some mad ships out there.
Just like whether it's like a Halo reference or a Batman reference or Star Trek or Star Wars or whatever, you can build some pretty cool.
I saw Bulbasaur today.
Oh, nice. We've had yellow school buses, Millennium Falcons, we've had the Batwing, we've had all sorts in our group chat. And they're just really good fun. But those people, like, they've completed the game 12 times already. Like, oh, what the fuck? I'm like, I'm 20-odd hours in and I don't feel like I'm scratching.
What I've loved about it is when you see all the videos, all the bugs.
Yeah.
There's been some so really cool bugs.
Yeah. I mean, and most, I hope most of them seem to be with the eyes. Like the character expressions always have a sense of
There's the one with the puddle. There's a puddle, and you can loot, and you can
You
can loot an entire shop for a puddle.
And now I'm guessing because the shop maybe is under the floor. I don't know what the mechanics of that is, but I did it yesterday before they patched it, because I have a history of missing the event and getting it patched.
And then you miss out on the fun.
There was a loot cave in Destiny, in the first Destiny, not Destiny 2, where it was a loot cave. And it was like an endless spawn of enemies. You just rinse, repeat them all. Go in, clear up, come out, shoot them all. It was like basically an XP, you know, loot cave.
Big old loot glitch,
and you get loads of exotic, not exotic, you get loads of legendaries and stuff. And I was like, I'm not missing it. So like 1 a.m. last night, I was like, I finished my work with my work stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm gonna boot up Starfield and go to this puddle. And I did. I flew to the planet.
Done it.
Found the puddle. And I found the cheat. And I went from having like, so my encumbered weight is like 240 max. I had like 200. So I'm running around happy. By the time I looted the loot puddle, I had over 1,000 weight. And I basically had to go back to the ship and
dump
my
it.
Ship was full. And I had to fly the ship back to the Europa base, go to the shipbuilder and build a fuck ton of storage just to unencumber myself.
Can you not like drop it on the floor and leave it there?
You could, but it would, the worry is that it would disappear.
Okay.
As you leave the planet and stuff, it would probably depopulate.
Yeah.
So it's like, once you've got it, you hoard it. So I was like in the shipbuilder, adding them tons of storage, bolt onto the side of the ship. And then they're like, your ship's too heavy now. You need to increase the engine power. So then you're putting on new engines.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, now because you've got that, you need a better grav drive. And, oh, fuck, you know.
Here we go. Yeah, it's endless.
It's just an endless loop of upgrading your ship, basically.
Because I saw one, a video the other day where someone goes like, you know, if you've got contraband, you get scanned to go onto the planets.
And they ban it from you. They take it off you or they take
you
to jail.
And he's like, if you land outside the city at this point, and then you dump all your contraband on the floor, fly in, get scanned. He's like, you can go back, pick it up, fast travel, and you completely overlook the scan.
Circumvent it. It's quite a laborious system of being scanned when you go into a universe because they don't give you much warning. You're just like, okay, I nicked 10 things on the previous planet. And then they scan your ship. They're like, you were contraband. And then you're like arrested and it costs you like $5,000.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're quick enough, you can warp drive back out.
Mm.
But if you're not, then you can basically wake up in the local jail, even if you're in space.
Okay.
And it's just like, oh, I've lost all that gear. All the stuff I nicked and stuffed off people. Because obviously you can pickpocket. So I've got the pickpocket and stealth skill. So I walk quietly, I can pickpocket. But yeah, you know, if you get caught for one other thing, they take all your other shit that's stolen. So it's painful.
Yeah, it's quite interesting you say that you've got like this neat skill because on Baldur's Gate, I'm playing as a rogue and I'm all about stealth.
I always go for that. That's like my default is like melee stealth kills. Although in this game, you can't stealth kill. I think you can. So it's not a one hit kill, basically.
Okay.
You have to attack them, but you can sneak up to them and do a lot of damage.
You get like a stealth multiplier,
As you level up, you'll probably be able to one hit kill people. But the amount of people I've stealthed and they've actually then turned shot and alerted the entire base.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not a stealth kill.
No.
It's not the same. But yeah, I think there will be a few patches coming in. There are obvious issues. And there's also like NPCs are a little bit like, a bit silly sometimes. But it's classic Bethesda. You get lost.
Yeah.
You get lost in it for hours.
Part of me wishes that they didn't like patch out a lot of the bugs because I love Bethesda games. Like Fallout, Skyrim, the lot. And what makes them their charm a lot of the time is those little bugs.
Well, it is. And sometimes the bugs are game-breaking. Sometimes the bugs make your game easier, like the puddle.
Yeah.
The puddle of love.
It's more fun, isn't it?
And it just makes it more fun. Like, don't take away. Yes, I know it is giving people more money, but the game's very expensive. Yeah.
So there's that video of the people who are like getting the bins and then just like dragging credits off tables.
Brilliant.
It's
actually brilliant. Now, the thing is, like, you can get a lot of wealth, but equally, the system that finds you or buying stuff is very expensive.
Mm.
So, yes, you could, like...
It pays to be a pirate.
Basically, you could unfairly nick about 30,000 credits, but you get fined 5,000 credits for just basically stealing an item. So, by the time you actually look at your profits, there isn't much.
No.
So, you've got to try and be a bit roguish. To get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's good fun. It's a good game. It's one of those that if my only advice would be with Starfield is you got to give it about 5 to 10 hours.
Just get over that hump.
Get over the hump.
Exactly. Yeah. See, Baldur's Gate has been a little bit like that for me because I'd restarted it on the easiest setting.
Yeah.
Because playing it on medium and like I was just getting battered.
Really?
It's so hard.
It's a hard medium
then. And a lot of it is all to do with like random points and during fight it'll be like somebody will attack you and it'll be like roll a dice and it's like right you've got a saving throw, you've only taken X amount of damage.
Yeah.
And have you played XCOM before?
No.
Where it's kind of like turn based, like you
out of your control.
You can move certain spaces.
Yeah.
But then if you like if I walked up to a guy, hit him with a sword, then I turn around and walk away.
Yeah.
By me turning away, he might have a perk which then
gives
him a reaction to hit you as you move past them.
And those,
it gets very, like, it got very boring and like very difficult.
Well, that's it. It takes it out of your control. It's not based on your play skill. It's based on luck.
Then playing on the easier setting, obviously things are more in your favour. You're looking more towards the story than the combat and the things. So it's been a lot more of an enjoyable playthrough.
Yeah.
I will go back and I will do another playthrough on the higher setting.
Yeah.
I just think you need to really learn the gubs of the game because it's very intricate. There's lots of little menus and lots of flavour text which actually mean things.
Well, I think the thing is, like, with a lot of these games lately, like the mission I had earlier that I'm really stuck on, they don't give you any clues.
No, not the good old days.
But also some of these, like you said, hidden progression paths. Like, a lot of games do it where you only find out that you need to do something when someone has done it and put it on a forum.
Yeah.
Like, if you do X plus Y plus Z, it will trigger this event that happens randomly and you can get some really high value loot. 99% of people will not trigger that just as part of playing the game.
Yeah, they won't figure it out for themselves. No.
And there's a lot of that in games, like there's an Easter egg. If you do this, you do that, you do that. And it's only those top percent of people that maybe really know the inner Easter egg mentality, or they have enough time to do it.
Well, yeah, they go and explore every little corner. Yeah.
But me jumping in as a dad who's got an hour to play,
yeah,
you know, I'm never going to find that.
No. Which also comes on nicely to the final topic of the evening. Mm-hmm. But I do notice we both have empty glasses. So
we do. What's the next one?
Do you fancy some jam roly poly?
Jam roly poly, yeah. Let's do it.
Oh, that's nice.
You can pour first.
I'll try not to stitch you up next time. This time.
Equal measures, please.
It's hard in the.
That last one was hard work. Right, pori.
That is horrific pour, that is.
That last one absolutely reeks.
Oh, this is going to be gash, I can tell already.
So there we go. So the last beer of the evening is Aunt Bess's Jam Roly Poly Pale Ale.
And do you know what?
Again, 4.5%. It smells very strawberry-ish.
Very tart, isn't it?
Very, very, very jammy, this smells like. And it is a Jam Roly Poly, so that I'm going to say that is, for smell-wise, a success.
And if you didn't know, there's not better than having a roast dinner at home.
I didn't know that, Paul. Thank you for telling me.
But, see, it says so on the box.
Says it on the box in every fucking tin. So here we go. It's a different smell to last time. Last time was that creamy raspberry sort of swirly strawberry.
It's very tart.
It's very tart. It's like cheap alcohol. It smells a bit like in a club having some WKD strawberry.
I'm already having flashbacks to that Raspberry Ripple one, which was by far one of the worst things I ever drunk.
Right, so this is an IPA. It's bordering on a cloudy.
It's got a pink tinge to it.
Yeah, it's a bit of grapefruit in there. It smells very chemically.
Mm-hmm.
Chemically sweet. Yeah. I have not got high hopes for this.
Pork. No. I wish we had done this one last, okay. But equally it might have ruined the rest.
Bottoms up.
Let's go.
Surprisingly, it didn't taste shit.
It's not as tart as I thought it was going to be, which I'm happy about.
It doesn't taste shit.
It's definitely the worst one out of the four.
It's got a horrible nose.
Do I actually think out of all of them, the roast dinner one might have been my favourite?
Well, it was just like beer. It was just beer.
Yeah.
It didn't taste anything really. But this one is like, it's very, again, like the previous one, synthetically sweet. It's got the smell of a Jam Roly Poly.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the taste.
But like one of those real cheap processed ones like Aunt Bessie makes.
Basically, it's exactly what you'd expect from Aunt Bessie. In fairness, though, I do prefer her real Yorkshire puddings and potatoes to this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great,
I don't think Aunt Bessie was an ale person. I don't think she was a beer drinker. I think this might be her son.
Stick to her batter mix.
Nephew Bessie, who made these. And he was like, I've got a great idea. You know, you do those Yorkshire puddings and those potatoes. Let's make ale and stout. And she's like, I don't think that's going to work. He's like, trust me, it'll be fucking lovely. Millionaires next year. And he's just like, oh, it's fucking grim.
Oh, yeah, it's not, that one's not the best.
It's not the worst. I mean, I can drink it. But
see, the worst thing is I'm pretty sure they sell these in pint cans.
Oh, God, no. I'm glad you bought the 330 mils.
Yeah. I thought, pack
them. If you'd given me a pint glass of each of those, I would have struggled.
You'd have quit the podcast.
It's the strangest thing to try and describe the smell is. It's, like you said, it's basically like the cheap... You know when you go to a shop and you don't have Sprite, you have their own version. Or they don't have Coke, they
have their own version. Cola.
Cola. So this is like that, but in a strawberry smell.
Mm.
So if you went to a shop in a council estate and bought Pfizer strawberry carbonated cream soda.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Oh, my God. It's terrible.
Cream soda flavoured beer would be quite nice. I need to find one of them.
It's a bit like that.
Mm.
It's like a cream soda beer, but not in a good way.
No.
We need a proper cream soda beer.
Yeah, see, I'm looking at it now, thinking I just don't want to drink it, because it's horrible.
You're not drinking it.
I will drink it.
You will drink it. We've never failed on a drink yet.
No.
But I'm gonna put my opinion on record that Northern Monks Aunt Bessie flavour selection I would avoid.
to be fair, the roast dinner and maybe the apple crumble were probably the best two out of the bunch.
The bar was set pretty low. I would say I agree with you.
I'm trying to be fair. If you had to put them in an order,
I would agree with you on that. But I would say if I had any other choice to drink,
it's the Isle of Merlot behind you.
I would probably borderline go for water over those.
I'd rather die of thirst.
I would rather be in the desert licking a camel's arsehole than drinking those.
Yeah.
Right, I'm done. It's empty.
Oh, so it smells a bit like, it just smells like vomit.
It's like, you know what it is? It's pub carpet at 2 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you've been in a nightclub, everyone's spilt their WKD blues on the carpet. It's mixed and fermented with some peanuts and cigarettes. And shame.
The odd bit of vomit.
The odd bit of vomit. And it's that smell. It's chemically sweet. It's horrible disinfectant sort of grossness. So I'm really sorry, Northern Monk.
Trend is, anything we've had that's slightly jam-flavoured beer has all tasted like that.
Or you could say sweet. Anything savoury, although it doesn't do what it says on the tin...
Yeah.
It doesn't have a taste of Yorkshire pudding.
No.
It doesn't have a taste of garlic.
But there are...
It doesn't have a taste of... a
chicken roast.
A chicken roast dinner. It's just been a nice beer.
Yeah, yeah. It's but you say, pleasant. The sweeter ones, like... If you go back to that pina colada we had on the beach,
yes,
that was pina colada, disgusting.
We had the rainbow fizzy one that I...
Yeah, bought. Yeah.
We've had... But tonight we've had... Jam Roly Poly, apple crumble, and sticky toffee pudding. Mm. They all struggle with sweet with
that
ale.
Smell. I need like a peg. As soon as I bring up that smell, it's just great. Revolting.
It's not great, but that's all the sweet beers have not delivered.
No.
They've sounded good on the tin, but I think there is something to say. Beer is naturally a bitter drink.
It's a savoury drink.
It's a savoury, bitter drink. And I think you add sweet into it, it borderline pushes it to a weird ale.
Because even some of the sweeter fruits on the scale, they've made it bitter and horrible, haven't they?
Yeah.
Like
I think that's where maybe it would work better on a cider.
Yes.
To have different flavours of cider, like a rhubarb and custard.
Because you have that dry tartness to it.
Exactly. You know, but on a beer, you're normally talking a savoury palate. And yeah, they didn't work for me.
No.
But very interesting. That's a nice experiment. That's the point of the podcast.
That's the point. Because I was in the shop earlier and I was looking around and they've got like, Carling, Carlsberg. I'm like thinking to myself, my first thought was I'm never ever going to buy it because I think they're disgusting. But two, I'd never buy them for the podcast because everybody knows Carling, Carlsberg, Stella.
Too mainstream.
Yeah.
You've all had it. It's a meh.
Even San Miguel, I'm like, everyone's had a San Miguel.
Yeah, everyone's had a San Miguel. The thing with this is, like, these four flavors are very out there.
Yeah,
they're very out there. And we're doing a public service here
by saving their money.
Saving yeah, pain,
I mean,
hardship.
If you want to know, it was Morrison's. It was like a fiver.
Yeah, well, Morrison's
for the four.
Thank you, you can keep them.
Fiver for four.
I've never seen Paul struggle to finish a beer before me. Oh, it's just that you are a beer drinker as well.
There's that smells gash.
I'm more of a wine drinker, but we got through them. I can't wait to take a picture of these and put these on and see what people's thoughts are, because
it's like somebody vomited in a gorilla's armpit.
It is essentially a club carpet.
Mm.
It is very much a club carpet. It's a mixture of masking the smell.
Trying to pull pubes out your mouth. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. It's not good.
I'm sorry, Northern Monk. Do you know what? It's Northern Monk, I will give them their due. They do make some cracking ales.
Just not tonight.
Just not those ones. Some of the other ones they do are brilliant.
Yeah, Northern Monk, you need to disassociate with Aunt Bessie.
Because even you said this morning, earlier, when I said it was Northern Monk, you're like, oh yeah, I know them, they do good beer.
Yeah.
They do.
They do.
Just not Aunt Bessie's.
Just Aunt Bessie fucked it, really. Stick to what you know, Aunt Bessie. Freezer food.
Yeah.
Don't get involved in beer.
Anyway.
Wrong.
That's that. So what were we? I mean, we said we weren't going to be a short episode. We're still an hour and 15.
Well, let's finish it off with one more topic.
Last topic. It was a listener question
from
a friend of mine on Instagram under the handle of, I want to say it is Geeky Diana. Mm-hmm. I want to say is her handle.
Geeky Diana. Yeah.
You know, it's a lovely girl, lady.
Yep.
She's a parent and she's got kids. Obviously, she's a parent.
Yep.
And her question was, what games would we say are good to play with our children? I've worded that absolutely terribly because I'm still miffed by this fucking beer.
Yeah, so what would be a game that the family can enjoy or you can play with the kids?
Yeah, obviously there are some staples out there. Here we go. Games for parents to play together with their kids. That's the topic.
Yeah.
So obviously there are some glaringly obvious ones out there. We have Mario Kart, Mario Party, fucking Roblox.
But not everyone's into those games.
No, Minecraft.
Yeah. I mean, my kids love Roblox. They play it together.
All of our kids play it together,
They play it together. I won't play Roblox. So I think the question is,
what could you all play together? Yeah, Mario Kart's a good one. It's like you said, it's a staple. It's good for the whole family. I tend to find it doesn't take long before the arguments arrive and everyone starts falling
Mario
out.
Party we've got, which is a lot of fun. Yeah. There's board games on there. There's mini games.
Yeah.
We've got Switch Sports. Obviously, we all played at ours that time.
Yep.
That's a lot of fun.
Good fun.
Switch Sports is good fun.
There's a lot of indie games.
Yes.
So on, in particular, Xbox Game Pass, there is quite a lot of indie games and games that are more child-friendly.
And I tend to look through them, and sometimes I watch the videos of the game, and I make my decision from there, and some of them I like. The artwork of the CD case.
Yeah.
You know, it's like being back in your childhood. So we are from a generation where the artwork of a game made all.
Yeah, you looked at the case and go, "That's cool, haven't it?"
Yeah, exactly. Like we were talking like tape cassettes, like games. So there was no like graphic. You could maybe see some graphics on the back of a cassette tape or whatever, but it was all about the artwork, whether it was cool, crazy.
And that never paid off.
Yeah, exactly. Or it was sexy, you know, it was a barbarian mistress on Barbarian X on the Spectrum or whatever. But the artwork played a part of it. So on Game Pass, it's a little bit like that now, is I go in and go, oh, I love their artwork for their still. And then I go into the game like, fucking hate it.
Yeah.
It's a top-down scroller, whatever, or it's a 2D side scroller.
Not interested.
Don't like it. So I always go in and watch the video.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of games on Game Pass and probably PS Plus as well where they've made very good cover art.
Yeah, like you say, it's the ones that get you, and you look at the cover art and you go, that looks really good.
Sick.
And then it's like a
it's nothing like what it is.
Like, yeah, like a side scroller, top down. You're like, where? Or they've got like a really cool trailer.
Yeah.
And you're like, how did you get from there to there?
Yeah, it's just like, it's not realistic.
Yeah.
So what I tend to do with all these games is I go through those and actually look and go, actually, that looks cool.
Mm.
And it was one I played the other day with Poppy, my youngest, and it was called A Short Hike on on Xbox Game Pass. And I want to say it was free and is free. I could be wrong, but
it is. Sure. I've seen it on the Game Pass.
I think it's free, and it just looked quite cool. And I thought, yeah, that's kind of what it says on the tin. It's kind of a pixel art game, but not so pixel art that it looks really dated. It's kind of like good graphics, but slightly pixelated.
Yeah, like Stardew Valley kind of.
Yeah,
yeah.
But almost better.
Mm-hmm.
So the good thing with this game is that it's, with Stardew Valley, it's top down.
Yeah.
And with all those types of games, top down, this is a very three-dimensional game where you could fly,
okay,
and drift around and ride boats. And, you know, the mechanics were really nice, like for aimed at a younger gamers audience.
Young indie.
I finished it with Poppy and then played it by myself.
Okay. What playtime, roughly?
I would say if you played the story all the way through solid without doing lots of side quests, you probably got about 4 hours.
Okay.
It's a short game, but
it's a short
very
hike.
Satisfying, and it was just a nice, satisfying play as well. It's like exploring an island. The dialogue options are very innocent, and it's, you know, kind of playing back to my childhood. Sort of, you know, I'm trying to build a sandcastle. Well, I don't have the right spade. Well, you know, give me that one, and you go off and you find a better spade. You come back, give it to him. He gives you a reward, and you know, it's that very much kind of like gratification system where you have a purpose to go and do stuff, and the whole goal of it is to basically get to the top of this mountain,
okay,
so that you can reach this event that happens up there, like almost like an aurora borealis sort of experience. But throughout it, you're working your way up these levels to the top by unlocking certain things, like a double jump, a triple jump.
I'm with you.
Climb certain stuff. In the beginning,
you've
got to build yourself up to it, and you've got to go to different vendors to get different things. And then you've got to fish, and then you've got to play a game, and you've got to do this. You've got to do this, all these different activities to level up your character to be able to get to the top of this mountain. It was just nice.
Yeah,
it was like simple enough that the kids would be like, "This is really cool. Oh, I quite like this. He's cute. I like the fact you can do this." And then for me, I'm like, "I see a leveling up system. I can do this.
Yeah, yeah.
I can do that. The graphics are really good. The physics of flying feel really nice."
So it sort of caters to both. Very
it
well.
Does,
yeah.
The physics system felt like a much more advanced game. The kids don't pick up on that, but you're like, I really like the way the boat drives, you know, and the fact you can drift in the sea and you get the waves and the curls, and then when you're flying, you can see like the undercurrent on your wings, and you feel the pressure of the wind and in your controller and stuff. So it's like, as an adult, I'm getting enough satisfaction.
Yeah.
Adult game.
It's more immersive.
Yeah, but as a kid's game, they're just looking at how good it looks. Like, this art style is very aimed towards kids, and, you know, the story is very kind of easy to understand, and it's simple. But it was really good. It's called A Short Hike.
Short Hike, yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. I sat there one afternoon with a couple of beers, and just kids went off doing some other stuff and doing some colouring in. Carrying and playing it.
Oh, wow.
The game by myself, and it was just nice.
That is cool.
That's
one I definitely think I'll check out. Yeah.
And every now and again, you just find when you just think, it's pure escapism. I'm back being a little kid again.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got that with, the other one that I did that with was Firewatch.
You see, I've seen a lot about that game. I've never played it.
It's very, very paced. It's very slow, but not too slow that you get bored. It's relaxing. So you're like, you're a guy that is gone off to work in a fire watch in the middle of the country, somewhere in America, in North America, whatever. And you have this radio station where other people, other fire watches are talking to you. And it builds up to this big event where there's a big fire and stuff. But you can just come down out your tower, go explore the woods and find some clues and go down to the river, and you know, there's lots of different options and stuff, but it's basically so chill. The music's lovely,
but no combat or anything like that.
The environment's beautiful. It's very cel shaded and stylized, but you just have this sense of, I'm just chilling.
Yeah, it's just tranquil.
There's nothing dramatic happening here. I'm following a plot and a story, and I'm unlocking stuff as I go do stuff and explore this cave. I'm finding stuff and I'm locking stuff and I can get to places where I couldn't get. and then I'm getting more information, and I'm speaking to this lady on the radio across the other way, and she's giving me more clues, and then there's like, well, there's something bigger happening here that I wasn't aware of, and it's like a bit more kind of like a sinister back plot, but it's still keeping its pacing as this nice, interesting, sort of like relaxing game.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really good. Like, I finished it, I was just like, that was superb. Superb. But it's sometimes the ones that you least expect actually...
that get you the most, yeah.
Get you the most. They're really good. And, like, The Short Hike, I got it because I thought Poppy would like it. And I ended up really enjoying
it. Itself, yeah. Which is a nice thing to have. It's a nice surprise. Yeah.
It's a bit like you and I playing Raft.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's like, just a good game.
The concept is so simple. We played it, obviously, when it first came out, and then we had problems with updating it. Mm. We kind of, like, lost our way. But it was really fun to play at the time.
Yeah. I was like talking to somebody about... survival games the other day, and I was like, Raft's one of the best ones.
Raft was great. You know, building your ship, going off to these islands, weird, following a little pattern of like the radio tells you to go here.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't go beyond that now because it does steam in a linear path. But to a degree, you can kind of do it.
Yeah. And we had an amazing ship, didn't we?
We did have a good ship.
We had a really good run on that.
We need to almost do that again.
Yeah, we do.
Because I think now the update has been accepted. Because I think the problem I had at the time is there was a corrupted update file.
Mm.
And I think that was there. I think
they've added loads to it as well.
Yeah. So it'd probably be really good fun now.
It would be. Definitely worth a retry.
So that's something we should do. But yeah, that's my indie experience. A Short Hike, if you're interested in a game with the kids. And I'd probably say your kids need to be like 6 and up.
Yeah.
Any younger than that is keyboard and mouse and all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
But if you've got a child that's good with computers and likes playing Roblox and stuff, try a Short Hike.
It's worth it. Yeah, see, we play... obviously, we're primarily console players in my house. Me and the girls the other week, we played It Takes Two.
Yes.
It's quite fun. It was a little bit difficult for them. Like, getting around the levels, they were fine. But then when it got to, like, a boss fight, Emily's like, right, Dad, you have the controller. And Layla's going, I'll just do what you tell me to do. Because they're very like arcadey in a sense. It's like a very specific mechanic or tactic you have to follow to beat the boss.
Yeah.
So like one of them was it would throw waves at you and you'd have to like jump over these attacks or move out of the way of these attacks. And then every now and again this platform would raise up and one of you would have to like load something into like a cannon and one of you would have to aim and fire it.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's very, like, the whole game is really well done. It's very much based on communication.
Yeah.
So the underlying story is that there's two parents that are sort of at their wits' ends with each other to a point. They keep bickering. And they're like, we're just going to get divorced. Yeah. Best thing for us, you know. We keep arguing. It's not nice. It's not a nice environment to live in. Best we go our separate ways. Their daughter... like makes this wish. She's like, oh, I don't want my parents to get divorced. And they basically wake up as like the mum's like a doll,
yeah,
and the dad's like made of clay.
Okay.
And they've got this like funny little heart guy who I think is what the daughter was holding when she sort of was making this wish at night.
Right.
And he's like Ricardo, like the book of love almost. And he's like, I'm gonna make you guys love again. And their job is basically they have to work together to sort of try and get back their real bodies to be back with their daughter.
Okay.
And so they sort of, it's almost like two adults rekindling their relationship at the same time.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a really nice plot. Mm. I said to Jess, I said, we really need to play this game. I said, because this could do wonders for our relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
But yeah, so I've been playing it with the girls and they do enjoy it. They can get around the levels quite well.
Mm.
There's no real like enemies to fight.
Yeah.
It's all about like platforming and, sometimes, like, the dad might have to, like, he can throw, like, nails, and then the mum can, like, grapple hook from them. Mm. So he might have to set some stuff up, and he'd be like, right, once you've grappled from there to there, I then need to pull that nail back, and I need to move it here at the right time so you can jump up to it. So it's very heavy on communication. Yeah, very cooperative, which is very good.
That sounds good. I mean, speaking of a game you can play together, me and Carly played a game the other day which was the moving game, like where you move houses and you're delivery men.
Oh, and it's all like humans fall flat. Yeah, yeah.
A bit like that. And we were laughing like out loud. It's very rare for us to like have a proper giggle.
Try and play. Yeah, because it's a bit like Overcooked. Have you tried that?
Yeah, basically like that.
It's chaos.
Yeah, Yeah. You have a moving house and you're throwing stuff, you're breaking it, you're smashing through windows, you're being proper careless.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a professional removal game. You are literally just trying to get as much on the truck
as you can in the quick amount of time.
In the quickest amount of time. So, you know, you end up getting in a bit of a giggle fit. So, yeah.
That's quite good. Yeah, otherwise, kids-wise, Emily loves playing Tony Hawk's or Hot Wheels Unleashed. She loves playing the Hot Wheels racing games. Yeah. Layla did play Hogwarts for a bit. But obviously, she's 11, so she's a little bit older. Mm-hmm. But she sort of... fizzled out. She enjoyed it, but...
Kids' attention span is not for committing to a 50-hour game.
No, and like the combat in that is quite advanced. Yeah, and she did, even on the easiest setting, she wasn't really grasping it very well. But that's it. Games for kids. Indie games are obviously, by the sounds of it, probably the better ones.
I think so. Look for the free ones. Look at the trailers. See if it fits your style. Give it a go.
Yeah.
If you've got Game Pass, you've got nothing to lose.
No.
Don't pay for it.
If it's cooperative, so you can sit next to them and play it, or it's a team game, or like you say, or something very simple like A Short Hike.
Yeah.
I think they're probably the best ideal ones.
So I think that is going to be the end of this episode. One, because we've covered our topics. Two, because we've had a lot of beers. And three, because I'm dying for the toilet.
Yeah.
So I think that is a perfect
way to end. Thank you, Diana, for your question.
Thank you, Diana.
So it's Geeky Diana on Instagram.
Hopefully we have listened to this entire episode and we got to your point before you stopped listening, because it was towards the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you, or not thank you, to Aunt Bessie for this horrendous experiment of flavours tonight. Northern Monk, shame on you for this collaboration. It sadly didn't work on this occasion. We will take a picture of these cans and put them on our box episode.
We will.
As we always do, we'll put on the stories tonight. If you have listened to this, you know catching up. We'll take a picture of the cans.
They look quite cool, don't they? Yeah. I do like they've got like holographics. That's what we're here for. Head to episode 20. Episode 20, we're going to do a table. We're going to tally them all up. Goodbye.